Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a good word. It is a great word. And we are going to be in the New Testament this morning. And if time permits, we will go back into Judges and read a little bit of Judges. So I am, as we say, excited to be able to come before you with a word of God. And it is, as always, a great word. As I was telling you on earlier this week, church announcement, I will not be blogging for the rest of the week. I will be on vacation. I will be taking a sabbatical. So I will be back on next Tuesday. We will not miss any word. We will be in Luke today and today's word, and we will be in Judges probably before we finish today. And I will be back probably on, because I will be traveling on Monday and Sunday. So I didn't want to try to rush something that God had not told me to do. So we will start in the New Testament, and it will be Friday's word, Saturday's word, Sunday's word. And then we'll go back and pick up the Old Testament. I hope that sounds good to you guys. And for those that are just joining me this morning, we are Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version, mainly because it is easier to understand and easier to read, actually. And it's very much King James, except where it takes out them's thou's and wording that is confusing. So thank you very much. Let us pray and get into our word this morning, because we know that the word has told us that we must meditate on it day and night. So we are meditating on it this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And today's title is coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 16. And y'all know chapter 16 is a awesome word. But our word is today, it says, no servant can serve two masters. And it goes forward. It says, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've heard it before. Now you know where it comes out of and the context that it's in. So that is our title, is no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that is the word for this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to be your servants, to be your children, to know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus that you are giving me this morning, that it will permeate hearts, minds, and souls, that someone will leave this show different than when they came, that they will feel your presence, Lord God, that they will know that this word is your word, that you, Lord God, instructed it, that you, Lord God, formed it in the minds of those that wrote it. You, God, are in charge of everything in our life. Although you give us free will, Lord, you always give us direction. Thank you, Father God, for your love, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord God, as I say every day, I am thankful, I am grateful, I am blessed shall be given a do-over. Lord, I pray that today be better than yesterday. And I pray the opportunity to have a new day, to see the sun come up, and to know that my God placed it in the universe to give light to this beautiful planet, to give heat to this planet, to give us everything we need, Lord. You gave us light in the morning with the sun, and you gave us light in the night with the moon and the stars. You gave it to us. You placed it in the air. And, Lord, all I can say is thank you. But you, Lord God, are the source of my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. And I ask you again, Lord, increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. I rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength. And a shout out to my pastors, Pastor Paul, Pastor Jesse and Pastor Paul Herring. I thank God for you. And I thank God for the instructions that you are giving us in training, in leadership, in our callings. So thanking God for you, and thanking God for Apostle Carmen, who have come in and are instructing. You know, you have to give credit where credit is due. As, you know, my mom used to say, give flowers while the person is living. And you have to give accolades while the person is still here. Don't wait till someone's gone and say, oh, they were so good. They did this, they did that. No, you tell them why they're still here. So shout out to the ministry that I'm a part of, My Covering. Because I will tell everybody, you can listen to this vlog. You can listen to this show. You can get your words from this show, but you must have a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church as your covering. Don't ever underestimate the power community of believers. But again, if they coming in with a whole bunch of nonsense, when you know you listen to the word, that I read this word, but that you know good well that's not context. That's not how that word was written, because God will bring it back to your remembrance. Listen, read it yourself, and if they, you come back and you know that they pick up the Bible hardly ever, then that's not the church for you. Bible believing, Bible teaching, a church that prays as well. You know, don't go with all that backbite nonsense. That's not God. And it's time to pack your bags and walk out the door. And be careful, because understand, there's a lot of ministries out there now that are popping up all over the place. And some, as God has shown me, are ministries of witchcraft. Be very careful where you go. Again, if they are not reading the Word of God, changing the Word of God, it's time to pack your Bible up and move. Do not stay there. Do not get involved. Don't get involved with idolatry. If somebody's telling you you got to worship the pastor more than you worship God, it's time to pack up your Bible and go somewhere else. You cannot serve two masters. Remember that. This word is important today. God is telling us. You can't walk around trying to serve God and man. You serve God. You are a servant of God. You love God to love his people. So let's get in our word this morning. We have a lot of word. And we will be an hour today because I got to go to work. So keep me in your prayers, family, as I travel and work as well. So it's a lot going on and on my plate, but I'm going to always do what I do for God. until he gives me a break. And so he has given me a break for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'm getting a 5-day break. But I will be back refreshed and ready to go on next Tuesday morning. And I will be excited because I will have seen my granddaughter and have time with my grandchildren. So I'm excited about that. So thanking God for that. And the word of God tells us in Luke chapter 16, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to me, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And that is a real deal. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Jesus calls us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. But sometimes we're wise as doves and harmless as serpents. Jesus does not call us to turn off our brains, but to engage our hearts. What a word. And as we continue, as the master said, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that will you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? In other words, you got to take care of what you have. Whatever God has given you, you got to take care of it. And I can tell you, sometimes I have not been the best manager, but I know how to take care of what I got. And I know how to be a servant for God and how to take care of others' stuff as well as my own. We got to make sure that we take care of what we have. For God gives us just a little to see how we do before he gives us a whole lot. And I'm going to tell you this, the enemy will come before or after a move of God. You just have to be ready. Because this is what the Lord tells us. He says, no servant can serve two masters. But either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. Amen. You can't do it. And as we continue, it says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets of John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was carried and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And I can say this, Lazarus didn't have a sore. Lazarus was clean. Lazarus was glowing because Lazarus was with Abraham in the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Understand, when you leave this earth and you are placed in your spot, you can't go from hell to heaven and from heaven to hell. You can't follow after wherever your loved one is. You got to go where God has placed you. Again, you can't go, what did it say? And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. It's a fixed location. It's a fixed gulf. Those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Here again. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father, Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither they be persuaded through one raised from the dead. They won't be persuaded by one raised from the dead. Don't get it twisted, dude. Your brothers have an opportunity to repent while they are on this earth. Your brothers have an opportunity, just like you did, to take care and help the poor. Your brothers have an opportunity, just like you did, to feed those that are hungry, to clothe those that need clothing. Come on now, to give shelter to the homeless, to give sustenance, to do what is right. Just like you, your brothers have opportunity because it's written in the laws and the prophets. It's written in the book of Moses. Come on, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one raised from the dead. And some life lessons from this word, it says this, the consequences of being spiritually short-sighted. Nothing stopped the rich man from getting what he wanted while he was on earth. He seemed to possess every creature comfort. On the other hand, There was a beggar named Lazarus who was poor and sickly. He liked even the most basic of needs. Though it seemed the rich man was blessed and that Lazarus was cursed, everything changed drastically. When they see Jesus tells the story of how Lazarus went to heaven while the rich man was condemned to torment. As Lazarus stood with Abraham, they looked across the chasm and heard the rich man's pleas for a drop of water to cool his burning tongue. However, Abraham replied, "Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." He didn't say. I'm going to say it again. "Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." The rich man had been spiritually short-sighted in thinking that whatever built bridges for him on earth would do so in heaven of the lost. In fact, that which constitute their state of torment will be their coming to themselves when too late for repentance. We don't want to repent. Too late. God has given us opportunity right now to repent, right now to say, "Lord, forgive me for every sin I have committed in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. Lord, give me a clean heart and a righteous spirit within me. That, Lord, as I forgive those that have trespassed against us, please forgive my trespasses. Lord, please forgive my debt as I forgive my debtors. Lord, forgive me as I forgive others." We got to forgive. We got to let go and let God. And I'm sorry, I have to repent every day not to pick up, because the enemy will throw something at you to get you to pick up a wrong that someone may have done to you, to pick up something that you have forgiven, to pick it up again. You got to let it go. And I'm talking to myself, not to you. But if it fits you, if those shoes are fitting, we all got to wear them and ask forgiveness as we forgive. You got to let stuff go. But there's going to always be a time that the enemy's going to use it against you. So you got to be prepared and say, nope, I'm not going down that road today. I let it go, and I'm going to leave it where it is with you. So leave me alone. I don't want it. You can keep it, because I've forgiven and I've let it go. Because God will bless you anyway. He will take care of all those things. Come on now. You got to just trust in the Lord and let foolishness go. Do you struggle with unbelief, thinking your earthly resources will save you in heaven? Do not give in to spiritual short-sightedness. Rather, allow God to open your eyes to his wondrous truth. Then you can repent and receive the free gift of salvation. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Praise be God who causes us to triumph in his name, not our name, but his name. Luke 16:10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." Faithfulness in the small things in the day of obscurity qualifies us for the opportunity to serve in greater and more influential ways. Be faithful where God plants you and watch what he does. We got so many folks chasing titles in the church. Well, I want to be a deacon or a deaconess. I want to be a prophet or a prophetess. I want to be an elder. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a reverend. I want to be a minister. I want to be a steward or stewardess. You know, I want to be on the financial board. I want to do this. I want to be on the board. I don't be that. Before everything is said and done, you chasing titles. I want to be in charge. You know, I don't want to be just a member of the choir. I want to be the director. That's not your calling to even be able to sing. How are you going to be the director of the choir? Come on now. When you don't have an ear for anything. Just hollering and whooping. And scaring people away. We got to stop and say, Lord, wherever you want me to be, that's where I'll be. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. You know, take the spiritual gift assessment. Find out what is your calling. If you are called to evangelize, evangelize. If you're called to be a preacher, teacher, then preach and teach. If you're called to pastor, then pastor. Because remember, there is only one senior pastor. Everybody can't be the senior pastor. If your title is pastor, what are you pastor of? You have to have a ministry. Whether you're the minister of health, you're a pastor of the ministry of health, you're over the usher board, you're over the hospitality committee, you're over those that clean the church, you have an assignment, you're over maintenance, you're over those people, you're over the youth department, you're over the women's ministry, you're over the men's ministry, you have to be over a ministry to call yourself an assistant pastor. Otherwise, you're just holding a title and not doing any work. Pastor of the music ministry or over the department, the fine arts department, whatever is your calling and you feel you're called to pastor, what are you pastoring? What are you working toward doing? Those are questions you got to ask yourself before you jump into these positions. You know, yeah, there's going to be somebody that's going to take your money and ordain you. There's going to be somebody that's going to take your money and give you a license. But you shouldn't have to pay to be a child of God and to walk in your calling. We got to know who we are and where we belong. God will guide you. God will show you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to be your servant. Where do I fit in? And he will tell you. And sometimes where you thought you fit in may be not your primary assignment. It may be a secondary assignment. We got to do what we're called to do. Luke 16:15, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There is nothing wrong with desiring to be great. The problem arises in how we try to go about it. Human logic says the great must enforce their authority. God says humbly serve. Praise God. Can I say it again? The great must humbly serve. Luke 16:31. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one raised from the dead. Miracles never make anyone believe. Jesus performed all kinds of miracles, including raising another man named Lazarus, not the same man as was in this parable, from the dead, John 11, and his enemies still crucified him. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and there was still haters hating. Luke 17:17, it says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no one offense come, but woe to him to whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And we're talking about the children. Hallelujah. You can't offend God's children. Our babies are important to God. And it said, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day return to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed would fit on the tip of your finger. it's not big as I say, not big as a minute. That's what they used to say when I was a little kid down the South. Someone big as a minute. Mustard seed is not big as a minute. It's teeny. But this is what the word tells us. You can say that there's a mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drank and drunk, and after you will eat and drink? Does he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commended, say, we are unprofitable servants, done what was our duty to do. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, which were the lowest of the low. The Samaritans were looked at as not worthy, kind of mixed up folks. But the Samaritan is the one that came back and said, thank you. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 coins? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Understand, all the Jewish people that he healed didn't come back to say thank you. It was the foreigner that came back to say thank you. And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And as we go through a few life lessons from this word, it says this. If he sins against you 7 times, Luke 17:4, in a day and 7 times a day, return to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Jesus is not encouraging irresponsible behavior on the part of the offender, but merciful and gracious behavior on the part of the offended. But even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We all must forgive. Please don't walk around with a heart full of unforgiveness. But God does not want you to be foolish. If you know someone's character, you don't follow after someone who's done you harm. You don't chase after someone who's treated you badly. Forgive them, but that don't mean you got to hang with them. You got to let them go. Forgive and keep it moving. You got to move forward. You can't stay stagnant. If a man is beating you every week, you can't stay in a marriage just because you said, well, I'm supposed to stay married. I'm not supposed to divorce. God does not want you beat down every week. God does not want you being abused or your children being abused because you think you're doing what God tells you to do. You pray and God will take care of the situation. But he don't want you to get killed in the process. Because God gives us common sense. You can forgive your perpetrator, but you need to keep moving and get your children to safety. I don't know who that's for this morning. But if you love God, understand God will open doors and make a way for you to be safe. He is not trying to let you be murdered because you're sticking in, because you think you're doing what God wants you to do. God does not want you being beat up. God does not want you being vilified. God does not want your children being hurt. It's time to move. Again, I don't know who that's for, but if it's for you, God is just giving you a word. Get out. Get away from that perpetrator. get away from that situation. We do not want you to be a statistic. Luke 17:5, increase our faith. We do not need more faith to comply with the Lord's instructions, but genuine faith is not the amount that matters, but its nature. The almighty power of God can flow through any unobstructed channel, done what was our duty to do. Jesus does not want us to grow proud over the things he enables us to accomplish by his Spirit. So Paul writes, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Luke 17:18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Oftentimes, the most unlikely people are the ones who obey God and give him glory. God always accepts their praise and frequently uses them as the examples of a righteous heart. We can't, as my mom then used to say back in the day, folks get too high in the britches. Get too high in the britches. Think they just got it going on. God will humble you. God will, as they say, bring you down a peg or two. We got to understand who we belong to. We belong to God. And it is God who should be the source of your strength. Luke 17:20-37. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go. That's a highlightable. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his days. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And I say this with a line. Understand, these folks out there trying to force of Jesus, trying to force the return of the Son of God, do not understand that when Jesus comes back, there will be many destroyed. There will be many dead of these same folks trying to force his return. Be careful what you wish for. You will get it. Because when you up there being so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, you won't be in heaven. I tell you that. How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your fellow man? Do you take the light of Jesus with you wherever you go? That's what God is wanting from his children. And it goes on to say in verse 31 of chapter 17 of the book of Luke, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife, kill her salt. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered. Who do you belong to, family? That's a question that we got to ask ourselves. Who do I belong to? Am I a child of God? Or am I a child of woe? Who do you belong to? Luke chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard him. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he was within himself. Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Come on now, heavenly minded, no earthly good. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing apart, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Did you catch that? He who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the word, buddy. He who exalts himself, God will humble you. Thinking you all that in 2 or 5, 6, 7 bad shifts, God will humble you like it's nobody's business. Better understand who's in charge, and it is not us. It is God. And as we continue, it says, then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. What is the word that a rich man would get into the kingdom of heaven? Like a camel through the eye of a needle. Isn't that what it says? And as we continue in our word this morning, and we are in the book of Luke, and it says this in Luke, continuing in chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 24 through 43. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those to have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to him, to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parent or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in his present time and in the age to come eternal life. And we all are going for eternal life. Hallelujah. Then he took the 12 and the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. But he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road, begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he said, what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Hallelujah. He glorified God, not himself, but God. And that's what we must do, glorify God in all we do. And as we get ready, we're going to go one more chapter in Luke. We're going to Luke chapter 19. We're getting all of our Old New Testament word in, because the Old Testament is a lot longer. And we will be in Old Testament on Tuesday. But I say this, if I'm taking my word with me, because I travel with my word, and if God wakes me up and says, do a blog, I will do a blog on Friday, which will be all Old Testament. And if God wakes me up on Monday, because my plane doesn't leave till late in the afternoon, I will do an Old Testament word on Monday. And we will be in the Old Testament again on Tuesday. I will do as God says, but for those that listen, you will see me listed. You'll hear, you'll see it on Facebook, the announcement, and you'll also see it on Twitter. And for those that I know personally, I will send out a text to you to let you know that I'm going live. Luke 19, 1 through 27. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I understand that. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business with our come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first day, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an astute man, and collect what you do not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an astute man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take this mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. Say to you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and they slay them before me. And I believe we missed a chapter in Luke. I missed a section because I remember seeing it, and I don't remember reading it. Before we get out of here today, I don't want to miss that word. Here it is, and I thought we had missed it. And this is the word of the prodigal son. I don't want to miss this word before we get out of here. We may go a little bit over because this word is very important. And it says this, then he said, a certain man, and we are back in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them all his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he saw, but he was still a great way, he was still a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, they heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go. And therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat and that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood, where harlots, who you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And that is our word for today. I thank you all for coming in, for joining me this morning as we move forward through the word of God. And it has been a great word. Before we get out, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we are all going to work. Hallelujah. And it says this, good morning. Your praise will take you from problem to provision. Raise the praise, family. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And again, just remember our word for today. You cannot serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We got to make sure we serve our Father with gladness and with righteousness. And again, church announcement, there will not be a blog or show on tomorrow. We will be back, as God says, but definitely we will be back, God willing, on Tuesday, and we will be in the Old Testament. Thank you so much. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family, knowing that you are sons and daughters of God and that he loves you more than anything. We can once be lost, but knowing our Father, he will always have open arms to welcome you home. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Join me on next Tuesday, 7 a.m. If things change, you will see it on Twitter and Facebook, or you will get a text. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap. To go to work, y'all.